These past few days have been filled with news that have brought great deals of disbelief. Shaking heads in stunned silence, mouths agape. News, local and personal or international and big, have captured our attention, only to leave us wondering if it could possibly be real. One thing after another has come about, pushing our bounds of belief. For many around the world, I heard from a person that I talked with on the internet that even in Indonesia, this news has made it big out there. But almost every West Virginian has watched the news for word of those miners. Word of those miners. After the Sego mine disaster, with the new requirements that were put into place and so many safeguards, we wonder how these accidents can happen. Every time word is received that more miners are found dead, we cannot believe it. Some folks cannot believe, with all of mining's inherent dangers, that people continue to travel deep underground to mine coal. And in the midst of this disaster, even more are in utter disbelief that this particular mine, which received so many violations and notices, is operating. Words from company memos are easily interpreted as saying that coal is to be produced above all, since in the memo's words, coal pays the bills. It's hard to believe how anyone believes that, since it seems that coal doesn't pay the bills, but the miners who get it out of the ground pay the bills. How can safety be overlooked? Accidents happen, yes. Violations occur, sure. But it becomes unbelievable to hear that they continue at this number and now lead to such severe consequences. 25 miners dead. Too much to be believed. Friends, some of you here, in our community, in larger numbers, were taken for a loss when late in Holy Week, news of the sudden death of Carolyn Walters made rounds. I heard from about half a dozen people about a death of a person I had never met. And it was a stunner. Deaths are a regular part of life, and we hear about them all the time, but when someone so loved, as was clearly evidenced by the line in the funeral home on that Easter evening a week ago, and the turnout at her funeral the Monday following Easter, when someone like that dies so suddenly and unexpectedly, we don't want, or maybe we are truly unable to believe it. Hear people talk of her, friends in this congregation and without. Her care and concern for others and her faith, well, stunned would be too understated. Who wants to believe that life works this way? Disbelief all around. And to keep us all in disbelief, we continue to hear how the Roman Catholic Church suffers from the sex abuse scandal. It's hard enough to believe that it's possible that people placed in positions of such incredible trust can rupture those relationships so profoundly. Perhaps even worse and harder to believe is the cover-ups by people in authority. Head shake when hearing that Pope John Paul II could have been involved in cover-ups. Pope Benedict as well. It's hard enough to believe that sexual predation ever happens, but that it's perpetrated by priests, and that these offenders then are protected behind a wall of sanctimonious silence. Too much. And it leads many to see the church, the whole church, mind you, not just the Roman Catholic Church, as nothing but a failed human institution. If these servants of this institution cannot be believed and trusted to be what the institution says that they are, And the message of the institution itself begins to be questioned. Who wants to believe that the Son of God brings about a holy people that's about to change the world when it seems all too worldly? If the institution's identity is questioned, then what do we do about its core proclamation? He's risen! Jesus is Lord! Maybe Jesus is just another guy. A guy who was misinterpreted. Maybe a fraud. The continued presence of death in the world in its many disguises, its many faces. Explosions, accidents, assaults, cheats, frauds, murders, exploitations, prejudice, hatred, oppression, so on. Leave us with more than enough opportunities for disbelief. And ultimately, it leaves us wondering about our belief in Jesus and his resurrection. The power of sin, death, and the devil create situation after situation to bring about our disbelief. And like the disciples, we lock ourselves away, walling ourselves off from the unbelievable news that the world has changed because Jesus is risen. The fear of the powers of this world lead to our disbelief and on to our acceptance that we are powerless in their face. So here we are, in the face of so many sources of disbelief, waiting to hear or see or experience in some real way some word to counter those voices out there that bring about the disbelief. And that word comes. That word comes when we gather in this room, grieving and isolated from one another when we gather, the word nevertheless comes to us and it bids us peace. Christ comes into our midst, giving himself to each of us. Here, he says, take my body into your hands. Take it, eat. I, the one who has died, giving myself for your sake, continue to give myself for you. Our disbelief is no barrier to him. Thomas wanted proof before he believed the news of Jesus' resurrection. And rather than push him away and say, I don't want him, he can't believe, Jesus draws near. We gather with disbelief resounding strongly in our ears and in our minds and in our hearts. And Jesus draws near, bidding us peace. And with this gift of peace and his presence in our midst, we're sent. Jesus sends us out. As the Father has sent me, so now I send you. The Father seals and sanctifies Jesus, who acts in the power of the Spirit, fully dependent and obedient to the Father. And in the same way, Jesus seals and sanctifies the church, sending it out to forgive sins. Forgiving sins, that is, to speak and work against those powers that bring about disbelief. Sin isn't just a moral category or a transgression against God's law, but a sign of disbelief in Jesus. The power of sin holds the world in its sway, and so something must be done. Jesus sends us out. And then continues to draw near. Jesus draws near to us, feeding us with his very life, filling us with his Spirit, breathing us into being as his new creation. As God breathes humanity into being at the dawn of creation, so now Jesus fashions a new creation by inspiriting us, blowing that Spirit upon us. And as we partake in this holy supper, we too, like those early apostles, are met by our Lord, who answers the powers of the world by sending us out. By sending us out, Jesus transforms us. We're not just a human institution. In the midst of obstacles brought about by our human failings, in the face of sin's grip, how easy is it to disbelieve that Jesus has anything to do with this ever-human church? But as with Thomas's confession, Jesus is no mere Jewish rabbi. He's Lord and God. And so if Jesus, Lord and God, sends us out, we must reckon with the reality that the world enslaved to those powers that bring about disbelief is faced not with a human institution, but by a people who represent Jesus and allow him to draw near to them. The great theologian Yaroslav Pelikan once said, "If Christ is raised, then nothing else matters. If Christ is not raised, then nothing else matters." If Christ is not raised, we should just lock ourselves away, for nothing that we do will stop the incredulous ways that death and sin make itself known. But Jesus is raised. We know, for he has drawn near to us. Nothing else matters. By sending us out, Christ puts us out in the world to share this news to which nothing can compare. No more oppression by the power of sin in this world. No longer will trust be broken. No longer will we need men and women to sacrifice themselves to keep the light on. Jesus, the one crucified and resurrected, will be our light. And our loved ones will no longer die. Jesus will raise us up to life eternal. And here and now, Christ is made present by those very ones he sends out into the world, by us, by his holy people. And when we are sent to make Christ known, we give at least as much reason for people to believe than disbelieve. In Jesus, our fear and powerlessness are put to an end, and we are sent out to participate with Jesus in the ministry to which God calls all of his children. Christ sends us out into the broken world so we might be ways and means that he can draw near to a world paralyzed by sin's brokenness. We disbelieve and Christ draws near. We lock ourselves away and Christ stands in our midst and sends us out. We feel powerless. Christ breathes his Spirit upon us and grants us power and authority. And still, after all that, he draws near to us again and again, feeding and nourishing us so that no matter how much reason we have to be disbelieving, we might be believing. Thanks be to God. Amen.